CliffCentral.com.
Scars to your beautiful. Never quite knew the understanding of that. But hey, that's us. It's back. Gareth is in Cape Town today, which is the big Cliff Invest Day. It's a huge deal. So we're going to be chatting to him very shortly, just crossing over here and there. My Bali is still ill, unfortunately. She has, well, she's just got a black lung, apparently. And I mean that in the Derek Zoolander sense, of course. She's just been coughing and coughing and coughing. And she might have lost her voice. So, oh, let's take that one away. Michael, have I got 5 minutes? That's something I want to do.
Yes, you do have 5 minutes, Ben.
Okay, very good. So, obviously, politics has been a big deal. We've been talking about this a hell of a lot of late. And like me, you might not care too much about politics. You find there's a political overload, all these kind of things. Something I find that is, look, I mean, maybe it's slightly depressing. You tell me if you agree with me or not. But the fact that someone like Trevor Noah is now becoming, like, very political, as far as he's now becoming quite opinionated in a whole bunch of topics around Donald Trump and how things are working in America. And he's taking quite a sort of left-leaning social justice warrior kind of look at these kind of things. So I found a clip here. He's on CBS This Morning. So basically, that's like America's version of Espresso, I think, or something like that. And he's being asked very big questions about Donald Trump and what he thinks about Donald Trump. And yeah, let's just have a listen to this.
You've now seen an election and looking at a new president. How do you see it? And what is your own sense of how we should react to Donald Trump?
Well, the biggest thing I've seen is America is not as immune to the ills of the world as it thought it was. You know, I think a lot of the world is disappointed in America because America is that beacon, is that lighthouse, you know, a bastion of democracy. And when you look at what happened during the election, I think it's sad that we're now living in a place where we're normalizing and moving on so quickly from two glaring truths that were part of what happened in the election. I acknowledge working class, that is something we can talk about, but we cannot deny that many of Donald Trump's supporters were earning large amounts of money. They're doing great for themselves, but there are people who put two things above everything else, and that is whiteness, and then that is also sex. And misogyny is a, you know, people talk about the glass ceiling, but what you don't realize is you can't see it because it's see-through. And misogyny has very quickly gone out of the conversation, where even as a man I have to come to grips with the facts that it is a tough world to be in when there is this invisible monster that keeps you down.
Yeah, the term.
So let's just hold it up right there. So Trevor's basically saying that majority of Trump supporters are all rich, misogynists, white supremacist kind of people. He's touching on some pretty difficult turf here. America brought him into The Daily Show as being a comedian. He's going to be the new face of Comedy Central's nighttime talk show. We said this before he got into the show, Gareth, was that what's his stance going to be on American politics? How hard can he actually go, seeing as he is South African? And how hard can he actually go when humor is kind of his thing? And here he is being very serious.
Yeah, look, Trevor Noah is in a tough position because he's also decided now to join that whole chorus of, well, misogyny and all of that shit, which people in America have said is nonsense. They don't believe in it. They think it's rubbish. They think it's leftist propaganda. And that anyone who disagrees with feminists in the third wave or with...
Sorry, Gareth. I'm going to cut you off there for a second. So, yeah, we've got a pretty bad line. It's just it's hammering in the background. I'm just going to try to get Michael to sort that one out quickly. So, just to echo what Gareth's saying, it's quite a hard line that he's taking here. And first of all, is this like one of those things that he's basically just taking on the general Hillary Democrat narrative that, you know, you only voted for Trump if you're a misogynist? It's quite a risky line of thought and line of way of going about it and presenting yourself.
It's terrible. It's very dangerous. And he's also, I mean, the ratings have not been great on television. He does better on YouTube than he does on TV. I saw part of that interview. There was a lot of it on the internet. I just don't know if it's good for Trevor. I think that he should, I'm not going to tell him what to do. I think the guy should be entertaining an audience. That's all. And it doesn't seem like this is the way to go. That's just my humble opinion. I don't know.
But Gareth, it's true. It's like he's trying to win an audience. And if he thinks that winning an audience by being a bit more of a social justice warrior is going to get him there, it's quite a risky take because it's a fickle crowd, that one. We've seen the way the left works. They eat each other a lot of the time.
Yeah. Yeah, they do. That's exactly the point. And in this case, it's just a question of exactly that happening. He's going to end up in an invidious position where no one from the administration is going to talk to him, where the average American is going to find his show not to their liking. And, you know, in TV, it's a horrible business.
Yeah.
If your ratings slide down by 10, 20%, they'll fire you. They'll change the whole show. They panic. Programming people are not very brave. They lack courage. And any excuse to stop listening to something or stop watching something and change it, they'll take.
And then what? Hillary's not going to give him a job.
No. neither will all the left-wing columnists who side with him on this misogyny nonsense.
Yeah, well, it is kind of nonsense. But anyway, I just thought we'd have that, seeing as, you know, politics is obviously a big deal right now.
Can I just point out, Trump is a 70-year-old man. That is how 70-year-old men talk. I can't understand why everybody is so upset by this. You're talking to a guy who's born in the 1940s, all right? He has a different worldview to millennials or to even people in their 30s and 40s. The guy doesn't – he's a different generation. I don't know what you expect from him. Do you want him to be a fairy? You want him to tiptoe and hop around everyone else's sensibilities? He doesn't care about that stuff. He was born post-World War II.
Not that much more, yeah.
Yeah. I mean, this is the kind of generation this guy comes from. I don't know why everybody is surprised at the way he talks about things. That's how he talks. And most of the people who voted for him, because young people didn't go to the polls in the numbers that Hillary required, older people in America voted for him. Older people in America identify with him. That's what's going on.
Exactly. And they're the ones who are making stuff happen, not the people who are ranting and throwing their own feces around on town squares right now.
Well, you know what? A lot of those people don't have jobs. And a lot of those people who are protesting on campuses and so on are desperate to find jobs. There isn't necessarily huge amounts of available employment in America. College campuses are churning out a whole bunch of liberal arts students who aren't particularly useful to the economy. And if you do something like gender studies at university, who the hell wants to employ you on that basis? You're never going to earn money. You're never going to get a bond on your house. You're going to live with your parents until they're in their hundreds and you're in your 70s. I don't know who hasn't explained this to people. To me, it seems like a fairly simple and fairly obvious, sensible route to take if you're going to talk about this this question of young people and their attitudes to things and old people and their attitudes to things. If more young people pitched up at the polls, Hillary would have won.
Yeah, simple as that.
If more young people had jobs, then they would understand how the economy worked. A lot of these people are college students. I saw a protester in New York trying to set fire to a flag. I think I put the picture up on Instagram.
Yeah, you did, yeah.
She couldn't even figure out how to use the lighter. She couldn't work a lighter. Who cares about this woman's opinion?
Well, Gareth, it kind of touches on what Rich was saying yesterday in his reality check, is that, you know, the opinions that really matter out there aren't allowed to be said because you'll be absolutely crucified if you were to say something against this narrative that's going on right now. So young people and millennials, they'll never get the understanding of the balance of worlds from different generations because people are being silenced so vehemently.
Well, they're not being silenced. It's just that everybody is afraid of being labeled.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, they're just afraid of being labeled. And we shouldn't have to worry about that. I mean, feminists can say what they think, then everybody else is entitled to an opinion too, because I don't believe there's a huge amount left for feminism to win. That's why it's kind of over, you know. And this upsets a lot of people.
But I can't believe you said that.
The reality is that there isn't in law any impediment to a woman becoming president. There isn't an impediment in law. In most civilized societies, and I am talking about civilized because we do have real fights on our hands. We do have real issues to deal with in terms of gender inequality in places like Saudi Arabia and Syria and Iraq and those parts of the world. That's where we should be focused on fighting for women's rights. In the West, the fight's pretty much done. You can argue here and there that there may be in certain businesses, in certain industries, glass ceilings. For example, there are just not a lot of women engineers. There are not a lot of women in the sciences generally. Women like to have flexible hours because a lot of women don't prioritize work the way, say, a 20 or 30-year-old man might. And these are generalizations, but they are backed up by the evidence.
Sure.
And we've got to be frank and we've got to be honest about them. We can't pussyfoot around these things and pretend that everything's general and that there aren't very specific differences between the way that men and women approach their jobs. And this is not some right-wing nonsense. This is a very well-established fact in the Western world. I wish that there was some perspective on what is a real human rights issue for women in 2016, and it involves places that nobody wants to talk about, like the Middle East.
Saudi Arabia, Hillary's favorite place.
Yeah, the place that funded Hillary's campaign. I mean, there's such a queue outside the Clinton Foundation at the moment for refunds. You have no idea. Anyway, look, I sound like I'm going on a rant because I'm trying to figure out what's wrong with our equipment on this side. Okay. But it sounds all right from your point of view.
Gareth, it sounds great. I just want to get a couple of messages here because we haven't had too much time this morning. Emma says, hello.
Yeah, let's get into it.
Emma says, hello. Where is the launch in Cape Town this morning? I want to come along. Emma, are you interested in Cliff Invest or are you interested in Gareth Cliff himself? You've got to state your cause here, Emma. That's how you're going to get into this.
Ben, it's called Hashtag Invest, not Cliff Invest. Sorry. And we are at the Sun Square Hotel in Cape Town, where it's pretty much a small crowd. It's an invite-only crowd.
Okay.
Anthea handled the invitations. But you know what? If you want to pop around, I'll be more than happy to say hello.
Okay, Emma, so just go in there. Don't look too threatening, and Gareth might let you in. This is from Maria. Yeah. Hey, Gareth, I recently tuned in after my friend told me about the Invest Project. Can you please explain exactly how it works? By the way, enjoying the show. Maria, we'll be getting into all of that. So if you can just show a little bit more patience, Gareth will reveal everything. Today is the big day. This is where it starts. And from here, you get everything you need. Kudos to Michael.
Here's an interesting message. This is from Mr. Radden. He says, I have to say we have plenty of local female engineers, technicians, and operators working with us in Iraq. Isn't that interesting?
Wow.
Oh.
Very
I did not know that. That's useful information. Thank you very much, Mr. Radden.
Someone in the progressive state of Iraq. Michael, his message from you, it's from June, says, kudos to Michael Flex, F-L-E-X, which is your pseudonym.
Yeah, a lot of people call him Flex.
To Michael Flex, trailblazer in the industry. First, you select fine guests to the show. Then SABC takes a whiff of something, selects these guests to the numerous talk shows, then rotates the hell out of them till we get tired of them. So, Michael, trailblazer.
Maybe SABC needs to start paying me some commission.
Well, I think that they've got lots of other things to pay for, like lawyers' fees at the moment. So you might be very low down on that pecking order. But yeah, keep your messages coming. Sorry, I didn't get them earlier because we're having some issues with our message to screen here. It's just freezing a bit. So don't take it personally. If I haven't read your message, I will get to it. But Gareth, so we're going to get in some news, some sport. And then after that, we're going to get into your chat with your next guest.
Cool.
All right. Back with you in a second.
At Conflagration Asset Management, we'll give you back 60% less than you should get when you retire. We never stop working to charge you management fees, performance fees, administration fees, and trading costs. Because when it comes to making money off your retirement, we're in this together.
At Signia, we won't help ourselves to 60% of your retirement money because we use revolutionary technology to eliminate unnecessary fees. Talk to your financial advisor or go to signia.co.za. That's SYGNIA. Signia Asset Management is an authorized FSP. T's and C's apply.
Does your education have 2020 vision? Apply at Vega for a world-class BA or BCom degree from an internationally accredited institution, and in 2020, you'll be ready to take the world by storm. Vega is the only school in South Africa focused upon the fast-paced, high-stakes field of branding, one of the most powerful and exciting global industries. Vega is a brand of the Independent Institute of Education, which is accredited by the British Accreditation Council. Visit vegaschool.com.
That was Little Mix and Black Magic. She sounds like a Little Mix, doesn't she? So we're into the 7:30 news. We've got to get into this because you're expecting a professional broadcast here. Della's asking, please tell us what's happening. Well, Gareth is in Cape Town this morning for the hashtag Invest. So this is the big thing that's been going on. And very excited about this. It's a big step up for you, mostly as a listener, because now you get a chance to be part of the stock market from as little as 100 rand. So take away all those snobby perceptions that you might have of the stock market. You can actually have your part in this. And this is why Gareth is in Cape Town right now. But we must get into the news. Gareth, sorry, did you want to elaborate on that? So we just had a message saying what's going on.
Yeah.
Yes, thank you, Ben. We are live from Cape Town, from Sun Square, which is actually a hotel in Cape Town I haven't been to yet. It's one of SoHo's more sort of relaxed and informal, very fun, interesting, colorful, exciting place. It's definitely one of the most, more trendy and young properties they've got. I've actually got Richard Keith here sitting with me. He is the GM of Sun Square. I want you to say hello to him too. Richard, good morning.
Hi, Richard.
Good morning, Gareth.
Can you hear us nicely, Ben?
Yeah, perfect, Gareth.
Hi, Richard.
All right, very, very good. Yeah, Richard, perfect. So tell me, you've been here for a while. The Sun Square, I haven't been here before. It is much more relaxed. It's much more sort of informal and fun. And I met you last night for the first time. Seems like you've got cool staff running around. It's a very sort of laid back atmosphere. Have I got a good gist of what's going on?
So Gareth, you spot on. At Sun Square Cape Town, these are the words that I wrote down that I believe makes us tick. And one of the words is edgy. There's no doubt that the staff that we've employed at Sun Square are youngsters. They're edgy and very relaxed. The atmosphere at Sun Square is relaxed. We're chilled. And we're very much in tune with customers' needs and what they want. So these guys can pick up if somebody is requiring X or Y, and they're really keen to connect to the people, to make sure that their needs are met, and it's a great experience.
You've got a sexy pool. You've got very nice rooms. You've got a nice sort of bar area downstairs. Anthea and I had a glass of wine here last night. It's a very nice, warm, welcoming atmosphere. And I saw you cancelled the wind this morning, which I really appreciate.
Yeah, Gareth, you cancelled the wind, and that's why Table Mountain's going to be busy this morning. Yeah, I think we've got a lot of value adds in this hotel, and one of them is Zeppi's Grill and Bar. It's a la carte restaurant that really is very trendy, very different. We have signature dishes, and the beauty of the hotel is that we've got this large garden and pool area. So we invite all the Capetonians to come and spend the day at the hotel, to come and have a pizza or a Prager roll by the pool and one of those sexy sinful cocktails. So yeah, we've got a really...
tell me about these sexy sinful cocktails, and how do you get people out of the hotel once they've had too many of them?
Yeah, the beauty is that we've got plenty of rooms upstairs, Gareth. So there's rooms for everybody that had too much to in an enjoyable day.
Ben, yeah. Have you ever been here?
Not yet, Gareth.
No, it's very cool. It really is an exciting little place. It's nice. I also think the location's kind of important, Richard. I'm imagining there are a lot of people who come here for business, sort of, you know, 1 or 2 days maybe, if they're in town, just to do some business in town itself, because you're very conveniently located. Kind of, it's one of the main stretches. You could just come down Duval Drive, and you're basically there.
Yeah, the location is absolutely fantastic. At the top of town, slightly out of town, but only a 10-minute drive to the waterfront, a 5-minute drive to the cable car, and all access routes in and out of town are right on the doorstep of the hotel, plus the red bus and all those value adds for the tourists, plus the corporate traveler. Yeah, we do a great mix of customers here. From corporate,
you get a lot of international people here?
Yeah, we do. At this time of the year, it's bustling. Cape Town's bursting at the seams with international travelers. So, yeah, we've got a nice cross-section of market that stays in this hotel.
I saw a bunch of Germans last night in the bar. I mean, I think they were Germans. The only way I could really tell for sure is if any of the women lifted their arms and they had hairy armpits, but I didn't see any of that.
Yeah, no, the Germans are very adventurous travelers and really enjoy South Africa. I connect with them daily, and they have an amazing experience of Cape Town. I've never ever heard one German tourist complain about anything in Cape Town. An amazing experience.
But it does sound like they're always complaining just because of the nature of their language.
Yeah, but they can maybe feel a bit distant, but once you get to know the guys, they're tremendous guys. Tremendous.
All right, cool. So what's on the menu for breakfast this morning? We've got all these important people popping by for this launch. So what are we going to give them for breakfast?
Yeah, the traditional English breakfast with all the add-ons. So hope you enjoy it, have fun, and thanks for coming to Sun Square Cape Town. It's really been a great experience having you, Gareth. Thank you.
Thank you. It's very nice to be here. So, Ben, next time you're looking for a place to go in Cape Town, this is the one that I would recommend.
Very nice, Gareth. It sounds like you're having a jolly old time.
Yeah, and there are lots of people arriving already for our launch. So, thank you, Richard. Very nice to meet you. There we go.
Sounds great,
How's
Gareth.
That, Ben?
Has Emma arrived yet?
No, I haven't seen any stalker type people, but I will let you know if anybody does.
Okay, Emma, please commit here, because we've had this in the past where we've been outside of the studios and people say, oh, come visit. I want you to get there. And I want you to make it very awkward. Get there with a big sign saying, hi, Gareth. Just but carry on through. You know where to go now. Okay, Gareth, we need to get into some news and some sport.
Yeah, let's do that. It's 7:30. Well, it's actually 8:25. Let's start with some news headlines. What do we got?
Well, it's going to take 98 billion rand to fix South Africa's schools. That is what the Basic Education Department has said is going to help overcome this horrible school infrastructure backlog. 98 billion rand. 408 of the 474 schools that lacked adequate sanitation have been provided with it. 523 of 604 schools that had no water were supplied. 560 of 1,131 schools without power have been connected. So they're making great strides, but they need an unlikely 98 billion rand. Huh? That is absolutely crazy. And just shows what an absolute education thing here. People are going on about fees must fall and the fact that university education is so difficult to come by. There is, again, 98 billion rand is needed for the bottom part. Okay, this is the most basic of education to get people into a position where they could be an adult. Kind of puts in perspective this whole tertiary education thing here, and people are willing to lose their lives and all that other kind of crap.
Yeah, this is very scary. I think that this should be the priority, apart from everything else, because people talk about growth and people talk about infrastructure development and people talk about wiping out corruption. But if we have that kind of a bill to pay just to get education on track, not even to improve it.
Yeah, this is just to get
a very scary number.
Yeah, this is just to get bat on ball. Very, very scary number. Oscar Pistorius will be moved to, or he has been moved already to the Attridgeville Correctional Center. Now, this is a facility that deals with inmates who are serving around sort of up to 6 years imprisonment. So nothing overly horrendous in the crime stakes, although we all know Oscar's crime was pretty horrendous. He's going there as well because it definitely helps with more with the disabled inmates. The rehabilitation is seen to be far superior to your general sort of prison. And of course, don't worry, Oscar will have another bathtub. I know people are very edgy about this.
Yeah, shame I heard about that.
He will have a bathtub. Musi Mamani looks to press on with charges against Jacob Zuma. He's determined to get one of these things to stick. It's kind of like playing darts. Eventually, Musi is going to hit the triple 20. He's trying his damnedest, but he's determined it's going to make it happen. In slightly more sort of dodgy news, two stories I need to get to here. It seems that the South Africans are more disgruntled now than they have been for a very, very long time. An 8-year low as far as being disgruntled. This is what a new report has suggested. Gareth, are you unhappier now than you were 8 years ago?
No, I'm happier. I'm an optimist, and I'm generally the sort of person who doesn't require a lot of admin to stay happy. I also don't need a lot of things. Glass half full kind of guy. And no, I'm happy. My default setting is happy.
Yeah,
the only thing that makes me unhappy is when everybody around me isn't doing what they said they would, or if I'm not getting the kind of satisfaction I'd like out of work or relationships or health or any of that stuff. So no, I would say at the moment I'm about an 8.5, 9 out of 10.
Well, I don't think the Pew Research Center cares about you then, because you're not easily swayed by things like the economy. So basically what it's saying is, so the Pew Research did this whole study in South Africa, Nigeria, and Kenya, place from March 29th to July 9th. And basically it's the economy that's making everyone so upset. 7 out of 10 people say that the economy is a massive driver to their mood. That's a lot, huh?
Oh, really?
7 out of 10 people feel the economy is taking the jam out of their donut.
Well, if you don't have a job, I understand that. That would make sense. If you are in a job that you hate, maybe that makes a lot of sense. But the general economy, I mean, how much of an effect can you have on that? And how can you allow it to have such an effect on you?
Yeah.
Do you wake up in the morning, Ben, going, oh, my God, the economy?
Gareth, I get up in the morning and go, oh my God, my alarm. But I suppose the economy, I always believe, I'm kind of like you, there is enough room here to actually make something of yourself. So the economy isn't going to down me. I'll find gaps in the economy to make a little bit of money. I don't think it's going to be the big be all end all. It's not all doom and gloom.
No. And I don't think people wake up in the morning thinking about the economy and thinking, oh my God, it's a mess. I think most people just get on with it. They've got a job to do. They've got people to see, places to go, stuff to achieve. And the general state of the economy is just a bunch of numbers to most people.
Yeah. Well, it seems to be bearing a lot of people. I think also it's just like you look at the economy and that's today, but there's not a lot of hope that it's going to improve tomorrow or the next day. So I think a lot of people are feeling really doom and gloom about that, in that we are declining, the growth is slowing, and it doesn't seem like there's any sign of it kind of turning around. I guess that's what the real issue is here.
Okay.
In the SA Medical Journal, Gareth, has been released, and a rare penile strangulation emergency has been revealed. So, now just bear with me. A 28-year-old man in Limpopo, okay? Date was not specified, neither the man's name, but he's got into the journal for future people to obviously learn from this. Somehow, he managed to fit his penis into a wedding ring. Now, if you do the maths on that one, that's quite a small penis. Let's just start with that. We are talking micro penis here, I would imagine, to get into a wedding ring. So it got in there and obviously it became very swollen. He got into great pain, severe pain. You think of the constriction on your cock there. Oh. He went to the hospital and apparently there's a method called the string method where you can kind of get people out of things like rings and constricting pieces of metal, whatever. It did not work. Gareth, I needed to take a saw, a very precise saw, yeah, to try cut this ring off this guy's cock. Anyway, the ring was too wide and too strong, so they couldn't do that. But the thing is, his penis was so swollen. Of course, the pain is getting greater and greater, and it's not going down because the ring had basically trapped all the blood. So his tiny penis was, I mean, we're talking, you could lose it, you know, you can just lose the circulation and that's it. So what they had to do, they had to inject him more than 20 times to try and actually drain the blood from his penis.
Oh, but listen, what bothers me about this is that if you use a saw or you use a pair of wire cutters or whatever, you still have to get under the ring to cut it. And if you're sawing it, what if you slip just slightly, you know, down or up? I mean, that could be devastating. Devastating.
Well, you need the absolute precision of a surgeon. If you are sawing metal and the other side of the metal, we're talking a couple of millimeters here. The other side of that is man flesh. So the thing is, it didn't work. The saw, because obviously it's very small, it wasn't strong enough to cut through the actual ring because the ring was so big. So with a 20 milliliter syringe and a big needle, multiple puncture aspirations were applied to the man's penis.
Oh.
Yeah. So eventually, huge antibiotics afterwards, and the man was discharged from hospital 3 days later. So if you are looking to put your penis into a wedding ring, firstly,
no, but listen. I don't want. I'm not proud of. I don't go around boasting about my size, but I don't think I could get it into a wedding ring.
Yeah, well, don't.
even at its softest, that would be a major problem.
Yeah,
even if I'd been in the Atlantic Ocean, in Cape Town here for 5 seconds, and you know everything freezes up and your knees seize up and that water is so cold even in the middle of summer, you know what I'm talking about, right?
Yeah, sure.
Even then, I don't think I could get a wedding ring on.
No. No, and don't. That's the whole thing. Or any ring for that instance. Just don't put things around your penis other than a condom. Let's go with that. There is your big advice for today. Final news headline. It seems more and more celebrities are being thrown into this next US president thing. Donald has started quite a craze. We've all heard the Kanye 2020 crap. But now a slightly better candidate has come forward. Dwayne The Rock Johnson says that why not?
Oh, wow.
It could definitely be something. See, but Gareth, this is my problem with all this. This is what's going to happen with Donald, and that's why I think Donald will resign. These celebrities will become so bored with the tedious activities of being a president. It's not all just rallies and saying cool shit. It's about doing menial stuff as well and being in meetings all day. And none of these celebrities will be able to do that.
You see, people look at being president and they think, oh, well, blue light brigades, Air Force One, living in the White House, opening buildings, parties, being interviewed on television. But that's the fun part of being president.
Exactly.
The rest of it, it's hard slogging, and it's having to read through endless policy reports, daily briefings, cabinet meetings. Can you imagine having to deal with white papers on agriculture? It's not fun being president.
Dealing with lobby groups about certain things you could not care about. None of these celebrities will cut it for more than a month. Now, I still reckon Donald will probably retire over this. Just get a quick look at the messages. Craig was saying that the escape job for the man in the penis should have been done by my buddy's locksmith, because we all know how talented he is. Mikhail says Sunsquare's Cape Town's really great. He came from a meeting one day. He arrived there with a blood nose, blood on my shirt everywhere. Mr. Keaton, his great staff, took my shirt, washed it in 15 minutes, and gave me a soccer shirt. Got back on the road, and that was that. How's that for service, huh? Yeah. Carl, Ben, Gareth is in the hotel where the Skun Hate movie was filmed. Okay.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
They filmed a movie here? I must ask Richard about that. That sounds interesting.
Yeah, that's an exciting place where you are, Gareth. We've got a call coming in. Faisal, what's up? Faisal, this is your moment. Turn down your radio. Yeah. You know the drill?
Yeah, no radio, yeah.
Okay. Hi, Faisal. What's going on?
Yeah. So just about the tornado. So I grew up in the Adelaide, and it's a bit of a, lack of a better word, hot mess.
Yeah.
And after the tornado, Sam, I feel really bad for all the people. I know at least two people who had their roof blown off. And from what I understand, it happened before 6, after 6, tornado hit more towards like the upper side of Annadale.
Yeah.
And from what I also understand, no one really got hurt badly, but a lot of damage was done. So yeah, I'm a heart feel for them because I grew up there. Went to high school, primary school there. So it's a bit of a shit mess at the moment. But knowing Annabelle, they're probably just rally behind everyone and try and fix the mess. But Mother Nature is cool.
I guess it just sounds like such a boring place. It's something to at least talk about. I mean, what else happens there outside of tornadoes?
Sorry?
Well, what else really happens there besides the odd tornado?
Oh, besides tornadoes and protests. Lots and lots of protests.
Protests.
I think for the fall, yeah, they've been protesting for free housing.
Okay.
Which is a bit of a, yeah, I don't want to get into that. It's just a shit mess because the people that want to get free housing, some of the people that I've been schooled, and so I'm just like, dude, get up from your lazy asses, get a job, buy yourself your own fucking house. The government doesn't owe you a house. That's just my opinion on the matter. But yeah, a lot of protests happen there quite frequently. We have a informal settlement right next to it. Fine Town. So they're also constantly protesting. So I think that's about it. That happens
Faisal.
To Annabelle. And then there's, no.
You sound like a protester. Stop lying to us.
I'll tell you what, Gareth. If they do succeed in getting free housing, I'll definitely try my best to get a free house as well. I mean, there's nothing wrong with having more than one property.
Well, it'd be kind of funny if the next protest is broken up by a tornado, because then people have some real issues to really kind of get behind here. This would be quite entertaining.
Hey, the one thing we haven't spoken about today, and while Faisal's on the line, I want to ask him what he thinks. Julius Malema was on fire yesterday. He was talking about how, you know, white people and the land, and you must occupy the land, and the Burumakh, and all kinds of stuff. I think Julius is, I think he's feeling a little bit pressurized at the moment. I think this Trump election's had a bad effect on him. I don't know what's going on there. He's just suddenly jumped out of his box, and he's ranting and raving and talking about how people have to just take whatever land they want, and he could be in some trouble here.
But he is sounding a little bit, I mean, he's been very composed about a lot of issues right now, Gareth, but he does. He sounds very soapboxy right now. This whole grab it,
yeah.
It's really kind of, it almost seems out of character, and you're right, it does seem quite desperate.
I think he's overreacting because he's seen how well Trump did with grab him by the pussy, so he's going grab him by the land.
Yeah, Faisal,
I agree. I actually agree with you, Jared. And he's sort of jumped on some Trump's bandwagon, and I think he possibly feels that he could win the next presidential race in South Africa. If he's doing something, then why can't he do it? Let's just call out shit for what shit is. So I tend to agree with you on that. And yeah, I guess it's a wait and see type of thing. Let's see what happens with all these court cases that he has going on. I also don't think there's a lot of merit in the court cases. I mean, the law that they're trying to apply is very old. For some odd reason, I just don't think it is sick.
So, Faisal, as someone who organizes a lot of protests, what's Julius's next move?
I think his next move we would definitely be trying to occupy more land in Cape Town. I mean, I think all those 100% of them in Stellenbosch, Christovice and them in Stellenbosch, they need to be very worried, because EFF is coming and they're going to come in hard.
Yeah.
No, I don't think Johan Rupert goes to sleep at night worrying about Julius Malema coming to grab his land. I think Johan Rupert, most of his money is probably overseas. I don't think he really cares about his land. He's got a house here in Somerset West. Nice house, but I think if you took it away from him, he'd still have plenty of other good stuff. And I think that the whole point with this land thing is just so insane. You know, why is Julius angry with white people when for 22 years a black government hasn't handed back any land to the people? That should really piss all of us off. Yeah, not just Julius. All of us should be annoyed that the government have not given title deeds to people in rural KwaZulu-Natal or the Eastern Cape at all. The chiefs still hold the power in those areas. Why has the government done nothing about that in 22 years? How convenient to keep blaming the white man when 22 years of black government has not delivered enough land to the people. That is disgraceful. The real issue should be with the ANC.
Yeah, it's almost just too easy. Like, Julius is picking on the whites like Donald does the Mexicans. It's like, oh, the Mexicans are the bad hombres. They're raping and they're stealing. You know, it just sounds so easy to the support base that he's kind of pandering to.
Ah, look, and you know what he means? He just means to find a scapegoat. This is like what Hitler did to the Jews.
Yeah.
Oh, the whites have the land. Oh, the Jews have all the money. You've heard the story before, and you know where it goes, right?
Yeah, bad. All right, Faisal, we'll let you go. I'm sure you've got a busy day ahead. Stay away from the tornadoes. Thanks. And if you still have any loved ones back in that town, I wish them all the best.
Okay, cool. Thanks, Gareth.
All right, Gareth. So that was the end of your headlines for the news. Let me quickly just run through your sport headlines. Sheikh Mashaba has officially been suspended because he doesn't see eye to eye with Danny Jordan, although no one really does. And talking of scapegoats, I think Safa's going to make Sheikh's one pretty much as of yesterday. Ibn Etzebeth will miss the Springbok test against Italy. Not that it really matters, though, because, well, I mean, who really still cares about the box at this stage of the year? I think people actually just want a holiday from the Springboks. I've been monitoring social media around this, and people are like, they almost feel duty-bound to watch the Springboks, but deep down, they're just thinking, oh, can I just please stop? I'm just tired. It's like having to put up with that brother who's always in trouble. He always wants money, or you must always help him out. And your parents keep saying, yeah, but he's your brother, you know, come on, just be like that. Ugh, it's just tiring. It's tiring. But big games happening this weekend. We've got England versus Fiji, Wales versus Japan, Scotland, Argentina, and then the big one, Ireland versus New Zealand, the big rematch. 2 weeks ago, Ireland beat New Zealand in America. Now we're playing at a proper rugby stadium again. So New Zealand, Ireland, that's going to be the massive one for the weekend. Also, France versus Australia. So if you are going to give the Springboks a skip this week, worry not. There's lots in this place. Talking about big matches tonight, Italy versus Germany, England versus Spain, European friendlies, two of the biggest matches you can have there from the English the European powerhouses. Crickets, the Australians, well, they're crap, aren't they? They've been absolutely hammered by the Proteas. An innings and 80 runs to go with a big victory in Perth as well. So that's 2-0 down. The Proteas have won another series down under. And Australia, well, Steve Smith has said his batsmen are going to return to domestic cricket to try and get some form going into that third test. That is hugely embarrassing. These guys must feel so unsettled right now. Really, really horrible. ATP finals happening right now. Nishikori won his first match yesterday. So did Murray. It's a round robin basis. The top 8 players in the world basically play each other in 2 pools, and then we get into the semis and the final. That's pretty much it for your sport for today. Tomorrow, a lot more in depth. Gareth, what's next? Are we into your big interview now?
We will talk to Dr. Christa Visa in the next couple of minutes. We're just waiting to make sure everybody's here, and then we'll get cracking on with all the other exciting stuff on the lineup today. And don't forget, touchcentral.fm at 9 o'clock, Ari and Kat, followed by Lerato Shabalala, followed by O'Neill. After O'Neill, on into the touchdown with Thibaut Touch, your boy. And then on cliffcentral.com today, a dose of incredibly cool stuff, including Brent Lindekew, including The Laws of Life with Gary Hertzberg, and plenty of great stuff. You've got a smorgasbord to choose from. It's not as if you've got only one or two options. It's not like the old days of TV, SABC 1, 2, 3, or one other channel.
Yeah, we really have so much.
Those days are past.
Gareth, we're going to take a couple of songs right now, and then I'm going to come back for your messages. And by that stage, I'm sure your guests will have arrived. They were comfy, and we can go straight into the interview.
All right, let's get some music going.
All righty. CliffCentral.com.